Shalom and welcome again to another edition of Seekers of Meaning, the podcast of Jewish Sacred Aging. I'm your host, Rabbi Richard Address, and I greatly appreciate your being with us. With these podcasts, we hope to explore issues that touch us and our families in light of the revolution in longevity that is reshaping our Jewish world. We appreciate your support, and you can follow us and listen to us and listen to previous podcasts by going to our website, www.jewishsacredaging.com, as well as our Jewish Sacred Aging Facebook page. We're grateful for your donations, which help further our work. And today is with great pleasure that we welcome to the Seekers of Meaning microphone a whole panel of experts to talk about the certification program in gerontology and palliative care out of the Wurzweiler School of Social Work. Take a breath from Yeshiva University. That's a lot. And to start us off, we welcome an old friend, Professor Gary Stein. Gary, welcome. I'd like you to introduce yourself and give us a little background before we introduce our panel. Really about the certification program. It's now in its second year, and we really want to try and get some of the information out about this absolutely wonderful, exciting new program. So welcome back. Good to see you again, Gary.
Thank you, Richard. Thank you, Rabbi Address, for sponsoring this discussion.
Richard is fine, by the way. I know you.
Let me introduce us. I'm Gary Stein. I'm professor at the Wurzweiler School of Social Work at Yeshiva University and director of our rabbinic program on gerontology and palliative care. It's really great to get together at this very challenging time. I'm really pleased that we're joined by my colleague in the program, Dr. Lynn Levy.
I'm Dr. Lynn Levy. I'm an associate professor at the Wurzweiler School of Social Work and the assistant director of the certificate, rabbinic certificate for gerontology and palliative care.
And we're also joined by a few participants from our program, Rabbi Liz Raleigh, Rabbi Janet Madden, and Freya Harbiter. And we'll get to meet them in a few moments. So let me start with the setting of the framework, and let me ask some questions for the audience. Do you expect to be working with congregants facing issues of aging or serious illness? Do you feel prepared to counsel families around these issues? And could you benefit from more background on healthy aging, on transitions between community and institutional care, and on planning for serious illness? Our unique program promotes the knowledge base and skills to better care for our families. And we're hoping that we've created a great opportunity for this program at this particular moment of time, as many of us are working from home. We've created a flexible online program of 6 courses, including gerontology and palliative care, counseling skills, coping with loss, philosophical foundations of the helping professions, and a very special course called Aging in the Jewish Community with Rabbi Address and Rabbi Dale Friedman as professors. We like to think of our program as a possible bridge to our MSW program. Credit from this certificate is transferable to Yeshiva's MSW. And also very unique about our program is that it's interdenominational. We have people from all spectrums of Judaism, from Orthodox to Reform. The costs, we're very fortunate to be able to offer this program with very significant scholarships. Each class is $810 for rabbis and for cantors, and $500 for rabbinical and cantorial students. We have a very brief application process on our website with a link that will be provided on a Sacred Aging website. Our next series of classes begins in mid-April after Pesach, and if you are interested, there is time to be part of that program. Dr. Levy and I are available to answer your questions about the program, and are available. You can reach out to us through email online. Okay. So thanks, Richard, for the intro.
Okay, Gary, let me get something very, very, because you mentioned it. This is posting on the 24th of April. The our class begins, that module, the 6-week module has already begun.
That's right. I've started in a few days.
So it's still not too late to register. Is that correct?
It's really close.
Close.
Yeah.
So don't wait, in other words.
Yeah. So if after hearing this podcast, you want to register for aging in the Jewish community or coping with loss, you need to get in touch with me or Dr. Levy immediately.
Okay. And then the second, do you have a date certain for the beginning of the fall 2020 semester?
We don't have a date certain. It will begin immediately following the fall holidays.
So sometime beginning of October. Yeah, October, assuming that we can do that.
If I might add, we have rolling admissions. So if you miss registering for this session, it will roll over to the next session. Your admission will roll over to the next session.
So Dr. Levy, welcome back. It's nice to hear your voice again. And for disclosure, I've known Lynn for a couple of years. Anyway, so Lynn, the course that you teach is called what?
Philosophical Foundations of the Helping Profession.
Translate that into like a regular Philadelphian English. What does that mean?
So the premise behind this course, and it really emerged out of a course from the master's program and the doctoral program that I teach on ideology, is that there are basic philosophical premises that individuals who are working with humans should explore in terms of human nature. We begin by exploring a wonderful text by Rabbi Joseph Soloveitchik called The Lonely Man of Faith.
Right.
It's quite an extraordinary piece of work. And what it does is it lays the foundation for how we can understand the duality in human beings. And the course really goes on from there to explore various aspects of life and living, and then applying it to the aging process and what it means for people who are at the older stages of life and maybe facing chronic illness or even end-of-life decisions for themselves and their family members.
So this is you teach us at the beginning of the academic year, correct?
It's foundational. I believe okay. That course is really foundational to understanding people and individuals and family units.
So Gary, hearing from Dr. Levy, who is, you know, closely aligned, teaching, very involved in this, could you just walk us through who else is on our call right now, on our podcast, representing sort of like the student perspective?
Okay, we have Rabbi Liz Raleigh, and we have Rabbi Janet Madden, and we have Freya Harbiter.
And Freda, you're in the current cohort, correct?
Yes, I am.
Okay, and Janet and Liz, also full disclosure, I've known them for a little bit, and Janet was in our cohort last year. I want to start with the two of you, Janet and Liz. If you could just share with us, you completed the program last year. You're working in various aspects of the community. One, Liz on the East Coast, Janet on the West Coast. What did you take out of this experience for the year? How helpful? For somebody listening to say, do I want to invest my time and my money in this? What am I going to get out of it? How would you answer that question? Let me start with Janet.
So I actually completed the program last week. I was one of the people who began in the summer and then went in through the fall and just finished in the spring. So I'm a little perhaps off the usual track. However, last summer when I began this journey, I never could have imagined where we would find ourselves now. As it happens, both of a medical center, which of course is highly ramped up right now and very on edge, patients and staff. But I'm also the rabbi of a 199-unit independent living facility that's a function of the Jewish Home. And if I had not done all the readings that I have done and all the learning and discussions that I've done about resiliency and the needs of people as they age, I would never have had the courage to teach my 80-somethings how to use Zoom and begun offering classes over Zoom, Kabbalat Shabbat over Zoom, and having 30-something people on a call. So I would never have imagined that that group would be open. They are open, they are eager, they are excited. That is just one absolute, not just benefit, but like absolute immediate payoff from what I've been learning in this class and series.
So Liz, your work is a little different from what I remember. So could you just also just give me a little insight into how you've used this or are using this program?
So I actually will finish this program with the next course. I have one course left. And I run a business. We support seniors to be independent at home. It's called Senior Concierge Services, and it's about anything but healthcare. So I'm working with people who are older adults who are chosen to remain in their homes and are beginning to see that that their abilities to manage their home are not quite what they once were. And we come in and we take care of home management and paper sorting and bill paying and do some safety assessments and just help people remain where they want to be as long as they can. My insights from the courses, the many courses, really are about the dynamics of the families with whom I work. Although I work with seniors, very often I'm brought in by an adult child, and very often I am responsible for keeping both sides informed. That's the coursework and the readings have really offered me a lot of ability to hear with an extra ear what's actually going on between the generations. And for the seniors, I'm able often to respond a little bit differently to the concerns they express, and especially the concerns they don't express, because I'm much more aware of what some of the unspoken issues often are for families.
Freda, you know, building on what Janet and Liz have just spoken about, you're also in the current cohort, and you are an end-of-life doula, which in itself is fascinating, and I do want to ask you about that. But, you know, I'm just trying to figure out how to... One of the issues that came up again in some of our conversations on a staff level and with students is managing the reading, et cetera. This is all an online program. So managing the expectations of the class while also working and doing your job. Freda, how have you found that? Have you found it to be a challenge, or have you found it to be okay, or have you found it to be, it varies from class to class?
It definitely varies from class to class. Some classes I found very easy, and some classes I found managing the readings more difficult. Mm-hmm. I've learned to not read every word by word, like skim a little bit. So I've adjusted. I found that the online discussions tremendously enhance the reading. Everybody's experiences really add tremendously to the reading and how they apply in their various lives. So I most of the readings I found extremely helpful and informative, and
Now, it's interesting you say that, because one of the things that we found last year, Rabbi Friedman and I and others, and we've talked about this, is that as important as the readings are or were and will be, it was some of the interplay on the conversation, the discussion forum, whatever it's called, really exposed a lot of people, and people shared sometimes some, at least in our class, some very personal aspects of their life and their reaction to some of the readings. So I think that was one of the, I guess, intended consequences or unintended consequences when Gary and Lynn put this together. But we found, both Rabbi Friedman and I found that to be a fascinating aspect of when we, because we monitor the readings obviously all the time and give our responses. Real fast, because it really is another, and actually we did a podcast on this about a year ago. For those people who don't know what this is, what's an end-of-life doula?
It's the other end of the spectrum from a birth doula.
All right. So you accompany people or you help people?
It's mostly a calming presence. It's mm-hmm. education. This is normal. This is how we're going to manage. This is how we're going to deal. It's going to be good. It's going to be fine. It's an opportunity to heal relationships. It's an opportunity to say heartfelt goodbyes. It's an opportunity to embark on projects that memorialize this person's life. It's a wonderful opportunity to find meaning and connections.
Do you work independently or are you affiliated with a facility? Okay.
I'm independent. I'm actually, I have an extensive background in just being there for family and friends, long-term, short-term. And I just got certified as an end-of-life doula right before I embarked on this course. So it's really, at this point, it's more foundational to give me more skills to be able to be more effective in what I do.
So there is a natural symbiosis here between what you're learning in the class and what you're doing in real life.
Yes.
From signing. And so Liz and Janet, could you also, I'm going to ask you, because you're in various processes through this, the time management, how have you found, because I know when I talk to people, colleagues in the field, they'll say, it's the same thing with the DMIN program at HUC. How do I manage my time? How have you found, Liz and Janet, how have you found the managing of your professional life vis-a-vis managing the expectations of class, the readings, the discussions, etc.? Let me go back to start with Janet.
Well, you know, I have a PhD. So before I became a rabbi, I had a PhD. So I...
So this is easy for you. This is easy.
Comparatively, I mean, it's never easy. And life as a rabbi means there's always something coming up. So I have one very simple rule in my life, and that is to get ahead of it. Never, never procrastinate. Start day one, if not before, and just keep plugging away at it. I find it's really helpful too, because that way, if I'm posting on the discussion board a little early, someone else posts, I have the opportunity to go back in and respond. It's not that I don't go back into the discussion boards many times, actually, to read what other people have to say. It's that for me, because I've taken two classes each time, so I've progressed through in the three different segments, it's been really just a matter of, I'm sorry to say it, but like just time management, you know, it's like,
it's important. It's important.
For me, yeah. And I've made it a priority.
I'm fascinating that you said you don't procrastinate. If you can bottle that, send me one of those bottles, will you? Because I really could like to use that. Liz, and your experience with that whole time management, and because you've started this business, it's emerging. I imagine it's quite time consuming, and yet you also have to do the work for school.
I took a slightly different view from Janet in making the decisions about the course. I first checked in with Gary Stein about whether I would be able to take one course at a time. I felt that I would not be able to keep up with two courses in a term. And it's been very successful taking one course at a time. It's really made it manageable. And the time commitment is to some reading. The reading usually in most courses is very reasonable. And then writing. And writing, of course, is portable. I can take it with me on my computer. I can do it in bits and pieces if that's what it takes. And the responses to my classmates, which I want to underline what Freda said, the give and take and the discussion among us is so, so important and so rich. I have learned so much from my classmates. Little things that they do, ways that they express themselves, perspectives that are very different from mine. It's been really wonderful. And that give and take, I can do that for 10 minutes in the evening and participate with a number of people and do 10 minutes the next evening. And that's fine. So the time management has been much better than I anticipated. But for me, taking one course at a time was a real necessity.
Right. And one of the things that really was interesting in our class last year, we found is that people who are working, we had several congregational rabbis who, you know, they have a funeral, they have Shiva, et cetera. They would come home at 10, 11 o'clock. This is no joke, at 10, 11 o'clock at night and just go to the message board, the discussion board, and write something. It could be a paragraph or a couple of sentences, but really just chime in and then people would respond. So there's no time, because of the nature of the way that the classes are set up, as Liz alluded to, you can do this at 6 o'clock in the morning, you can do it while you're having, or you can do it late at night, and people do. So I want to turn back to Gary and Lynn for a second. Do you expect, is there a requirement stated or implicit that a person applying for this certification program in gerontology and palliative care have a certain number of years of practical out in the world experience? I mean, is there like a 5 year, you really should have some 5 years experience, 10 years, so that you really have a sense of, I know what is going on here. I've been around the block a couple of times.
There's a real range of experience of our participants. We've had one rabbi who is towards the later parts of his career, and we've had rabbinical students who are just starting out in their program. So I think that our participants learn from each other, and we don't admit people because they have with a requirement that they have a certain number of years under their belt.
Okay. Yeah, that's
one of the things that we're very keenly aware of is that it's the kind of experience they have, not the length of experience they have.
What do you mean?
That they're interacting, that they really have had opportunities to really interact and be, you know, in the thick of it, you know, to have interacted with individuals and families, that it's not completely new to them. In other words, I'm not sure what the benefit to someone just out of school would be to do this without having some awareness that this is the direction that they would be going in. Can I say one other thing about the courses?
Say anything you want.
I know in my course, I have, in many of the modules, I have at the end a personal reflection. And one of the reasons that I do that is because in any helping profession, which, you know, is what our participants are in helping professions, whether you're strictly a rabbi of a congregation of people who are aging or you're working in an institution or for an agency with people who are aging or in the aging process, it's a parallel process. In other words, you are experiencing something as they are experiencing, and to develop an awareness of how you're feeling and what your personal reflections are, you know, we call it countertransference in, you know, in therapy, but there is always countertransference. And I think that our participants get an opportunity to really express and think about what that parallel process is for them, what it triggers for them in their own lives.
So let me follow up with that. Are you saying then that, that if there's an a real opportunity for a student to have, for the want of a better term, it's not quite psychologically sound, an aha moment?
Yes, personal growth.
Of who they are and why why, in other words, I'm entering the program because I think I'm going to get skills that I can use in my work. And in the middle of this, I have this understanding of this is nothing to do with my work. This is really about me.
Yes. I mean, I was interacting with this client of mine in, you know, in the nursing home, and I wasn't aware at the moment that it was triggering a relationship that I had had in my life.
Right, right, right. So,
yeah.
And that's why I think people to understand that one of the real benefits that I found teaching this is that those types of growth moments do take place. And I'm really, I like to throw that also in your reflection from the people who are actually walking the walk, Freda and Liz and Janet. Have you encountered any intimations of these personal transformational moments within your journey in these classes yet, to be honest? And if no, that's also okay. But I'm you know, since Lynn raised this, I just kind of interested in your reaction. So let me start. Freda, I'll go with you first.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Just the thing that pops out at me the most is I'm currently dealing with a very, very, very close friend who's in the advanced stages of early onset Alzheimer's right now. And the ability to understand that empathy has boundaries, and the whole enabled me to take a step back and see the whole picture better and what my role should and should not be, to still be able to be there for her and be supportive without my falling apart in the process. It really, really, really helped me tremendously. There are many readings, the whole Viktor Frankl, The Meaning of Life, and right. The whole I-Thou relationship that we learned about. There's so much. Dr. Levy's course was so rich. And yeah, the reflections were wonderful. I really learned. I really found so much that applied.
Your professors grow as well.
Liz, Janet, you want to chime in?
I'll let Liz go first.
nice move, Janet.
It's difficult to actually entertain that question in the present moment, as we're in the midst of our first or second week of basically being stuck at home in the midst COVID-19. So what I'm finding as I do my last two assignments for this term is that everything is coming together because it's really just a little too close. And so, everything that we've focused on about the aging process in terms of how people perceive it in themselves is coming to the fore as it's hard not to face not only my own mortality, but pretty much the possible mortality of everybody around me. So at this precise moment, it's sort of like everything is coalescing and everything is very real.
Thank you. Janet, you want to follow up with anything?
So I want to go back to sacred aging and just the concept of sacred aging, which, you know, for most of our lives, or at least my life, applied to other people.
Yes,
but,
well.
But it there is something so powerful for me personally about incorporating the idea that, yes, please God, I too will age and continue to age. And how do I, what do I want that to look like? And how do I want to be? So this goes back to Lynn's point about how, of course, it, for the people I serve, this is a major consideration of my life. But it's become much more incorporated into my personal everyday life. How do I want to find sacredness and meaning in every single day? Pandemic or not? I mean, pandemic definitely shines the spotlight. But I believe I learned from you, Richard, that, or Dale, one of you, that people are living, you know, at least 30 years longer now than in a generation or so. And that's a long time to live. And how do we want to do it to the best of our abilities, to our maximum capacity, to the greatest possible meaning, and finding joy and purpose in that? So for me, this these courses have also been very growthful personally.
Well, thank you. No, you're right. One of the things that we talk about in when we go out and to work with congregations in Jewish sacred aging is exactly what you're talking about. If you're given, if you're lucky enough to have the gift of life, you know, in post quote retirement, and that even that's changed now radically, of 20, 30 years more of life. The spiritual question for our generation is, what are you going to do with the time that you have left, knowing that you cannot control the amount of time that you have left? And that is, I mean, that's the basis of, it's the basis of my program, the basis of my work and my rabbinate. And you are, and you look, you wrote about it last semester. So, and that underlines everything, and that really underlines the program, because the program really focuses from the therapeutic context to the practical context. Dale and Mark's class is much more practical, and it's orientation. Exactly some of these ideas and issues. So before we run out of time, I want to pick up one thing, and I'll throw this out to the panel, because Freda mentioned it, and it comes up, I think, in many different ways around all the classes. And that is because all of us are, as Lynn said, in helping professions. And a lot of us who are motivated to go into helping professions have a rescue fantasy, you know, that we're going to fix. And of course, in the in this population, a lot of times we come up as Janet, as we just may not be able to fix things in an ideal way. So how do we understand, how do we get across this idea that Freda talked about, of boundaries? And I'll just throw it out. It's a good closing question. How do we teach to appreciate, to understand, to accept boundaries that are given, that we confront, but our own boundaries and our own limitations? I'll throw it out to the panel. But somebody answer. Okay.
I would say something very brief, because, you know, I teach practice in the master's program as well, and I teach first-year students, which is always interesting because they always come in with their own ideas of what it should look like. And the first thing that I teach them about is boundaries. And they want to know why they need boundaries. What's the importance of boundaries? And then we discuss self-care and the importance of self-care. And you can't be in these professions without taking care of yourself and processing, and debriefing, understanding who you are in the process. You're not the fixer. And I think one of the things Freda said, and it made me think of a book that I read called Awake at the Bedside, which means that you're there for the journey, but it's not your journey.
Right.
It's That's someone true. Else's journey.
Thank you very much. Gary, as the person who's really in charge of this on several different levels. Let me give you the last word to really sum up. And once again, real fast, if somebody is interested in pursuing this, where do they go? How do they do it? What's the process?
Okay. I first want to thank Liz and Freya and Janet for sharing their perspectives. And Lynn and I are always available for anyone who is listening who thinks they might have an interest in the program. They could reach out to either of us, and we'd be glad to provide them with more information, talk about their concerns, talk about how this could work and be integrated into their daily work with their congregations or with their agency. Formally, what people need to do is they need to submit a very, very brief application that takes maybe 10, 15 minutes, and they send us their CVs. Lynn and I review everyone carefully. We get back to people probably within a day or two and admit them. As Lynn mentioned early on, it's rolling admission. So whenever one applies and is accepted, they can begin in the courses that start in the semester that's immediately following their application. We have an upcoming semester that begins right after Pesach and runs through mid-June. Then we take a break for the summer and Jewish holidays and then resume our fall semester in mid-October. So if one in hearing this discussion is immediately interested, they should reach out to me or to Dr. Levy, and we will try to work this very quickly so they could join Richard and Dale's class and our Coping with Loss class. If not, students can begin in the fall with Dr. Levy's class and our gerontology class.
So real quick, before we conclude, we're going to post this as we do, but just in case, give me the website that a prospective student would go to get all this information.
This would be at www.yu.edu/Wurzweiler.
Spell it.
Wurzweiler. And you, by looking at the menu bar, you'll see programs. You would click on Rabbinic Certificate on Gerontology and Palliative Care.
Thanks, Gary. Gary, Lynn, and Janet, and Liz, and Freda, thank you very, very much. It's a continuing good luck with this program. It's a very exciting program and immediately useful in a colleague's world and experience and business. So just thank you very much. Take care. Good luck. Stay healthy. Stay safe. Take care. And I hope if you've had a Passover, it went well. And if you're waiting for Passover, Shani, Chag Sameach there too. So thank all of you for listening to this edition of Secrets of Meaning, the podcast of Jewish Sacred Aging. A reminder that you can follow us on our website, jewishsacredaging.com, and as well as our Facebook page, Jewish Sacred Aging, and also our special Jewish Sacred Aging podcast page on Facebook. If you wish to make a tax-free donation to help further our work, please go to the website and click on the donation page. Feel free to send suggestions and comments and requests or for consults to me, rabbiaddress@jewishsacredaging.com. These podcasts are recorded at the studios of Lubetkin Global Media in Cherry Hill, New Jersey, and produced by Steve Lubetkin. Again, thank you for being with us, and we look forward to greeting you on the next Seekers of Meaning, the podcast of Jewish Sacred Aging. Todah and Shalom.